have captured my imagination for some time. A number of years ago, I had the privilege of publishing a sefer entitled Mitzvah HaShabbos, Mimara Sinai. This is what it looks like. In this sefer, I trace through the lens of Chazal and various Rishonim and Achronim the evolution of a mitzvah. The evolution of the mitzvah of Shabbos through different stages of its being presented to Klal Yisrael. Many of the sources that we'll see today are elaborated upon in much greater detail in the Sefer. Just for the record, the Sefer is available at the Sfarim Fair, which opens today. In addition, I'm also currently completing a Sefer on the Shemona Esrei of Musaf of Shabbos, which is not yet available, but maybe by the end of the sperm sale will be available. And some of what I'm going to speak about today connects with that as well. The central bracha of the Musaf Shemona Esrei begins with the words Tikanta Shabbos. If you notice, look at source number one. You have in the Tikanta Shabbos is a reverse acrostic of the Aleph Beis, beginning with the letter Tav and through the letter Aleph, Tashrak. The last of the 22 letters is an Aleph, Oz, which on the one hand closes the cycle of Tashrak, but also begins a new thought. What is the new thought that it begins with? Oz Misinai Nitzavu Aleha, which means then from Sinai they were commanded regarding Shabbos. That means that we're linking the mitzvah of Shabbos with Sinai, with Matan Torah. At first glance, this is very understandable. The mitzvah of Shabbos appears in the Aseres HaDibros, both in Parshas Yisro and in Parshas Veschanan. We have in Parshas Yisro, Zachor es Yom HaShabbos V'Kadsho. Parshas Veschanan, it's Shomor es Yom HaShabbos V'Kadsho. We know what Chazal tell us, quoted by Rashi. Zachor v'Shomor v'Dibur Echad Nemru. We say in our Chazodi, Shomor v'Zachor v'Dibur Echad. So we have, of course, the association of Shabbos with Sinai, with Matan Torah. We also have a reference to Shabbos in Parshas Mishpatim that we read yesterday. Source number four, Sheishes Yomim Tasa Masecha, Uvayom Hashvi Tishbos, Luman Yonuach Shorcha Vachamorecha, Vinafesh Ben Amoscha Vahager. According to the Ramban, everything in Parshas Mishpatim, that is the mitzvahs of Mishpatim, formed the Sefer Habris, that the Torah tells us at the end of Mishpatim, Moshe wrote down the Mishpatim in a scroll, and he read it publicly, and Klal Yisrael responded to that with the words Nasa V'Nishma. So they heard the Mitzvah of Shabbos again in connection to Matan Torah, and they responded to that and to all the other mitzvahs in the Shpatim Nasa V'Nishma. So we understand on that level, Oz Misinai Nitzavu Aleha. But the problem is that there's another tradition in Chazal that placed the Mitzvah of Shabbos prior to Sinai. Now, Chazal based this on the language of the Pasuk in Devarim, in Beschanan. You notice the Pasuk concludes by saying, Kashet Sivcha Hashem Elokecha. You should observe Shabbos, Shomash Yom HaShabbos V'Kadisho, Kashet Sivcha Hashem Elokecha. Now, Rashi quotes for us in the Gemara, Rashi in source number 5, at the end of the source. What does it mean, as I have commanded you? I mean, this is the mitzvah. This is Aseres HaDibros. Rashi explains there that the words in Beschanan were actually written on the second Luchos. So what does it mean, as I've commanded you? I'm commanding you right now. And the answer is, we're referring back to an earlier stage. We're in Mara. Kashet Sivcha B'Mara. What was Mara? Mara was the first stop for Klal Yisrael after Kriyas Yamsuf. In Parshas Bisharach, the Torah tells us that they journeyed into Midbashur. They went for 3 days. They couldn't find water. And then finally they got to a spot where the water was bitter and they couldn't drink the water. And Hashem found a way. He showed Moshe how he should make the water sweet. And it says in the Pasuk there that he taught them certain mitzvahs. According to Chazal, one of the mitzvahs taught in Mara was Shabbos. So Kasha Sivcha, you should observe Shabbos as I've already commanded you in Mara. So if that's the case, we have a problem that many Rishonim ask. How can we say in our davening every Shabbos at Musaf, Oz Misinai Nitzavu Aleha? After all, we received the mitzvah of Shabbos, we were commanded, after all, before Sinai. So there's much that can be said about the relationship between Shabbos and Mara and Shabbos at Sinai. As far as Mitzrayim, we'll get to that a little later on. What I'd like to do now is focus on this question from the perspective of the Lamatas Melachos. We understand that when the Torah says you can't do work on Shabbos, it's not work like I would define it, how you would define it. Work has very precise definitions. We understand that there's a notion of lamitas melachos enumerated in the Mishnah Shabbos. So, what is melacha? Not doing heavy labor, sweating. Melacha is a creative act that has to correspond to what Chazal identified as a melacha. The Gemara tells us that every one of the lamitas melachos has as its source the building of the Mishkan. So, for example, if you look in source number 7, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Mem Tes tells us, Haditnan, Avos Melachos Aboim Chaser Achas Kineged Mi, what do the 39 Melachos correspond to? And the Gemara quotes, Abi Chanina Bar Chama Kineged Avodas HaMishkan. The Sanya in Chayavin Ela Al Melacha Shekayotzi Ba Hoysa B'Mishkan. There has to be some situation involving building the Mishkan, according to some Rishonim, even the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash in the Mishkan, that was a Malacha that we consider therefore to be Aser on Shabbos. So for example, Heim Zaru, they planted, Atem Lo Tizru. Heim Katsru, they harvested, you shall also not harvest. Heim Helu Es HaKrashim Mikarka La'Gola, so they had to transport the Krashim of the Mishkan. So it also had to do with the melacha of Hotzah, Hachnasa, from one Rishus to another. So too, you can't do that either. Every one of the melachos is, in a certain sense, a distinct Avera. The Torah says, Lo Sasa Chol Melacha, but really, it's almost like you can imagine there are 39 separate Isurim. There's a concept called Chiluk Melachos. A person does various melachos with one forgetting the actually chayiv achadas, this is the shogi, that is, for each individual act of violating Shabbos. Just like if a person would do an avera of eating chayiv, eating dam, which is a separate iser, they bring two separate karbanos, so too with the malachas of Shabbos. The separate isurim, each malacha forms a separate prohibition. And it's all patterned after the Mishkan. That's why you find all the time the Torah mentions the mitzvah of Shabbos in connection to the Mishkan. This raises quite an interesting question from our perspective. Az misinai nitzavu aleha. When do we first read about the Mishkan? This coming Shabbos. Dabar b'nei Yisrael b'ikcha l'tzeruma, and then we go on to describe the various parts of the Mishkan that they're going to construct. So Klal Yisrael only received the mitzvah, and this is Hashem speaking to Moshe. Klal Yisrael didn't get the mitzvah from Moshe, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until Moshe finally came down with the second Luchos after Yom Kippur in Parshas Vayakel. And yet, Klal Yisrael received the mitzvah of Shabbos by Aseres HaDibros, Zachas Yom HaShabbos V'Kadosho, they heard it. They heard it in the Sefer HaBris, as we know in Parshas Mishpatim, but how would they have perceived the mitzvah of Shabbos if they didn't have the context of the Mishkan, and it's the Mishkan that defines for us what exactly is prohibited on Shabbos? So did the Shabbos that Klal Yisrael heard about at Har Sinai, or taking it back to Mara, did the Shabbos prohibition that existed in Mara conform to the same details of Malacha corresponding to the Lamatas Malachos that we think about in terms of the Mishkan? Could it be that there were some aspects of Shabbos, perhaps some melachos of Shabbos, that did not exist until a later stage? There is a fascinating insight of the Panim Yafos. The Panim Yafos was Rav Pinchas HaLevi Horovitz of Frankfurt, one of the two famous Rabbein of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer spoke about one Rabbi who was a Kohen, Rav Nathan Adler. I supposedly descend from his family. I don't have the exact family tree, but that's our tradition. And the other Rebbe was a Levi, and that's the Haflah, who also wrote many Svarim, as you know, the Haflah, the Sefer HaMakneh, and he wrote Panim Yafos al HaTorah. And he says a fascinating thing about this question. Lametes Melachos corresponding to the Mishkan, and yet we have Shabbos preceding that, both at Sinai and in Mara. Now he works off of the following Gemara. The Gemara, one of the ways that Gemara learns that, Lametes Melachos. How do we know there are 39 Melachos? Where does that number come from? The Gemara learns it out from the Pasuk in Parshas Vayakhel, source number 8. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes down after Yom Kippur with the second Luchos, so this is now the day after Yom Kippur, he begins to speak to Klal Yisrael about building the Mishkan. And he gathers them together, Vayakhel Moshe es Kodash B'nei Yisrael. Before he speaks about what's needed for the Mishkan, he introduces in a few short psukim the mitzvah of Shabbos, just as we find in Kisisa, as well the juxtaposition of Shabbos and Mishkan. There Hashem is speaking to Moshe. At the end of everything, Hashem talks about Shabbos. Moshe then comes down, Yom Kippur, and the next day, Vayakel Moshe, he tells him about Shabbos in a few short words, and then goes on to discuss all that's needed for the Mishkan. And he introduces Shabbos with the following words, Vayomer Aleihem, Eile hadvarim asher tziva Hashem lasos osam. These are the things Hashem is commanded to do. The Gemara in Shabbos Tzadi Vav and a few other places, Tzadi Zayin actually, Rebbe Omer, beginning of Perek HaZorek, it says, Eile hadvarim. We have a couple of extra words. We have dvarim, hadvarim, and we have the Eile. Says the Gemara, the two words Eila Dvarim are a hint to Lamed Tes, 39. How so? The word Eila has a gematria of 36. Aleph Lamed He equals 36. Dvarim has the connotation of plural, which is at least two. By adding the prefix He, that gives us the right to add one more. So Ha Dvarim is a code for the number 3. Take Eile, which is 36, add 3 from Hadavarim, and that gives you a hint to the number 39. Eilu shloshim v'teisha melachos shenemru Moshe b'Sinai. As Rashi explains it here in source number 10. Says the Panim Yafos, he says the same thing in two different places, from different perspectives. In the beginning of Parshas Teruma, source 11, and in Parshas Yisro, source 12, where he references that also in Parshas Truma. In connection to Matan Torah, we also find the words Eila Hadvar, the same two words. Eila Hadvar Masher Tedaber El B'nei Yisrael. So take a look first at source number 12. Says Rav Pinchas HaLevi Horovitz, the Hafloya, Yesh Lefaresh Masha Omar Eila Hadvar Masher Tedaber El B'nei Yisrael. Lefisha Amru Chazal. Chazal tell us, Ko Somar Beis Yaakov, Besageid Levnei Yisrael. So there's Beis Yaakov and there's Bnei Yisrael. So Beis Yaakov, Chazal tell us, were the women. And Bnei Yisrael is the men. But you can also take it another way. Bnei Yisrael are the elite, the Zakenim, the elders. And that's, I think, another interpretation. So he said, he explains, Eile hadvarim asher tedaber bnei Yisrael heim hagedolim shenikroim b'shem Yisrael, which means hodia lehem diktukei mitzvos. He's going to speak to them with more detail. So he says further, Yeshu Omer, what did he tell the elders of Klal Yisrael? Yeshu Omer, shehodia legedolim shebehem kol lametes melachos shel Shabbos. So not the average Jew, but the Gedolim of Klal Yisrael already at Matan Torah had a perspective of Shabbos through the prism of Lametes Melachos, Eile Hadvarim. And he goes on to reference what he says in Parshas Truma, that we learn out Lametes Melachos from the Mishkan, Kaisel didn't yet have the Tzivui of the Mishkan, so they wouldn't have even known that Shabbos was consisting of prohibitions based on Lamatesh Malachos, corresponding to the Mishkan. How did they know? Because Moshe now taught the Gedolei Yisrael this secret about Ela Hadvarim Beta Lamatesh Malachos. Now, go back to source 11 in Parshas Truma. This explains what the Gedolei Yisrael knew. What about everyone else? So, the Panim Yafos here in Parshas Truma brings a medrash that connects the words V'ikhuli Teruma with a pasuk in Mishlei. Kirek Achtov Nasati Lachem Torasi Al Tazov. And he suggests the following. Why the reference to Torah in connection to the word Teruma? And the answer is because the word Teruma actually contains the same letters as Torah. But there's one additional letter. Mem. And that's the Mem. What's the significance of the extra Mem? So he points out the following. The Pasuk tells us in Zos HaBracha, we all know this Pasuk, Torah, Tziva, Lon, and Moshe. The Gemara learns that from this Pasuk, and again in the Sefer Makis, that there are Taryag Mitzvos. Because Torah, Tziva, Lon, and Moshe, Moshe instructed us with Torah, which is 611, and then there's the other two, the first of the two Aseret HaDibros, Anochi Liyelcha, we heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Panim Yafos. Okay, so that accounts for two additional mitzvot on top of 611. That's what we heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we're still short 38 to get to the Mem. Mem is 40. What's the significance of the extra 38 that's hidden in the letter Mem? So he explains a few lines into this source. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is now telling them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe, Moshe is going to transmit this to Klal Yisrael, about the Mishkan. If you're talking about the Mishkan, you're talking about the concept of Malacha on Shabbos and after Mishkan. Whereas, before you know about the Mishkan, you just know the amorphous Lo Sasecha Malacha, which is one idea, one concept. Don't do work. Now Moshe is telling you it's not just about one concept. It's about 39 distinct, discrete prohibitions that Shabbos is consisting of. Lo Sasecha Malacha, you can't do Zriya, you can't do Ketzir, you can't do Ma'amar, you can't do 39 different types of Malacha. And that's because we know about the Mishkan, now we know that Shabbos can be represented through the prism of Lamatas Malachos, which is a net increase of 38. Because whereas until now Shabbos was just one prohibition of Lo Sasecha Malacha, now Shabbos becomes 39 distinct prohibitions as manifest in Lamatas Malachos pattern after Mishkan. And that gives us the Mem of Teruma, which is connected to the Mishkan, because it's now that they have the 38 additional dimensions to Shabbos over and above the one dimension that they had until now. That's more or less how he wants to explain this Mem. What is significant about what he's saying is that Klal Yisrael, before hearing about the Mishkan, heard about Shabbos. They were commanded in Shabbos, and yet, as far as they knew, Shabbos was not about 39 distinct categories of work. So, if that's the case, what was Shabbos? What did it mean for them not to do work on Shabbos? They heard that Aseret HaDibros, so Moshe explained, L'sasecha Malacha. They were taught in Mara about Shabbos, and yet, from the Panim Yafos perspective, it didn't have to do with Malacha. So what was it? That he doesn't quite say. But I found, and I have this in my Sefer, and I found Rav Asher Weiss assumes, that according to the Panim Yafos, Malacha, before it was explained to Klal Yisrael through Moshe Rabbeinu connecting to the Mishkan, Malacha was what you and I would imagine is Malacha. Take the words at face value. You can't exert yourself. You can't strain yourself. You can't do heavy work. All the things that we were taught is not what the Torah had in mind when the Torah says don't do work. That's all true once the Torah Shemal Peh came and explained what it all means. Eila HaDevarim and all the traditions connecting to the Mishkan. But before that point in history, Malacha would have had a very different definition. And something of a support to that is what the Panim Yafos says, I don't have it here, the beginning of Mishpatim, connecting to the din of Eved Ivri, who wants to remain a slave after the 6 years, and the Torah writes, if that's the case, they would take a matzeya, a drill, and drill his ear. Va'avado le'ola. What does le'ola mean? Till Yovel. What's the problem? Klal Yisrael got mishpatim in Mara. The dinim were given in Mara. Now Yovel is a mitzvah that wasn't given in Mara. Yovel only is described later on in Chumash, in Pashas Bahar. So when Klal Yisrael received these dinim in Mara, which included Va'avado le'olam of an Eved Ivri, how would they have understood it? So the Panim Yafu says they understood it at face value, whatever the Pshat seems to suggest. The Torah of Opek came later and explained what it means going forward. Rav Kasher, one of his Svarim, suggests that when Klal Yisrael received the mitzvahs in the Shpatim of Ayin Tachas Ayin, so as they understood it, it means eye for an eye. Precisely. Mara was dinim lefi pshuto so mikra. And only when Torah of Opek came in and gave us the new insight do we understand it on a different level. So if that's the case, Shabbos would be no different. Shabbos and Mara, according to Panim Yafos, would have had the meaning of do not do work, however you want to think that means doing work. There's a problem here, and that's from a Gemara in Shabbos Tezayin Amid Beis. From this Gemara, it would seem that Shabbos and Mara had to do with Malacha, but perhaps there was some aspect of Shabbos that did not apply. And what does that mean, and why? So the Gemara has the following machlokas, Shabbos Pezayin on the base. The words of the Gemara, the Kamifligi b'Shabbos d'Mara, and they are arguing regarding Shabbos of Mara. Dichsiv, for it is written, Kashet Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, that's in Parshas Veschana that we saw, V'om Rabbi Yehuda Merav Kashet Tzivcha b'Mara, Mar Savar, one opinion is, a Shabbos Ifkud. On Shabbos they were commanded, at Tchumen lo Ifkud. On Tchumen they were not commanded. Mar Savar, and one opinion is, at Tchumen nami Ifkud. Now let's give the background for this Gemara. The background of the Gemara is the following question. Before Christ arrived at Har Sinai, where were they located? Vayisu mei Refidim. Vayavou midbar Sinai. Right? Refidim was with a place with Amalek, fought against them, and also they needed water, and Moshe hit the rock. He was allowed to hit the rock then, they got water. It says they journeyed from the Sinai, and they went on to Sinai. Now, according, there's a question as far as what day they arrived at Hasina. What day of the week, that is. We know what day of the calendar it was. When did Kaiso arrive at Hasina on the calendar? Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Bayom HaZeh. Third month, first day. What day of the week was it? Machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, they arrive on a Monday, which means Matan Torah, which was a Shabbos. Everyone agrees it was a Shabbos, would be Vav Sivan. That's how we think, because we celebrate Shavuos on the 6th of Sivan. Rabbi Yossi holds that Matan Torah, which was Shabbos, was Zion Sivan, which means that they came on a Sunday. According to Rabbi Yossi, Iyar had 29 days, says the Gemara, so Sunday was already Rosh Chodesh. According to the Chachamim, Iyar had 30 days, so Rosh Chodesh wasn't until Monday. According to Rabbi Yossi, they arrive at Sinai on Sunday, Rosh Chodesh Sivan. That's clear. What isn't clear? When did they leave Refidim? Did they leave Refidim on that same day, on Yom Rishon, and they arrived on the same day? Or did they leave Refidim on Shabbos, that is the 29th day of Iyar, and arrive Sunday? So the Gemara has a machlokas, which way was it? And the Gemara explains, what's the machlokas depending on? The Shabbos of Mara, did it include the Isser of Tchumen? Tchumen means you can't go beyond certain boundaries on Shabbos. If they were not commanded regarding Tchumen, then they could have well journeyed on Shabbos, leaving Refidim on Shabbos to arrive at Sinai on Sunday. If you say they were commanded regarding Tchumen, then you'd have no choice but to assume that they left on the same day they arrived, on Sunday. Now, let's clarify. The Gemara's language is a Shabbos ifkut. On Shabbos they were commanded. On Tchumen, one opinion says yes, one opinion says no. What does Tchumen mean? So at first glance, Tchumen is Tchumen, right? You can't go beyond certain boundaries. There's a problem here. Number one, two problems. Number one, is Tchumen an Issa Doraisa? Or only an Issa Drabana? The Machokes Tanoi. Rabbi Akiva learns Tchumen Doraisa. Some say Yitzis Mekomo, so that's how he takes the Pasuk to refer to Tchumen. Others say that that's not the real Pshuto Sumikra, it's a Drasa, it's Nasmachta. Chazal instituted Issa Tchumen, and it's only Drabana. Some distinguish between Yudbeis Mil and Alpayim Amma, so therefore could be there is a Tchumen Doraisa, and others assume that no, Tchumen is Drabana, there's no Issa Tchumen Doraisa. If we hold, like, the mainstream opinion, that there's no Issa Tchumen Doraisa, then how could the Gemara be talking about a question relating to Klal Yisrael journeying on Shabbos if they violated Tchumen? There's no Issa Tchumen Doraisa. That's one question. And there's another question. Is the only issue the issue of Tchumen? Could he journey on Shabbos? Maybe not Tchumen. There's no other melacha that you can think of that Hosah! They have to transport what they have. There's no basis to justify carrying unless, you know, there was no Issa Hosah. So Tosa says, in response to both these questions, the next source 14, that we don't have to read the Gemara as going according to Rabbi Akiva that Tchumen Doraisa, because the Gemara doesn't mean Tchumen per se. The Gemara means Hotzah. So are you Molichin Imahem Koash Alehem? And therefore the question of the Gemara is not about whether Tchumen was part of the mitzvah of Mara, but rather whether Hotzah was part of the corpus of Shabbos given in Mara. Now, the Ramban and the Ritva have a different solution to this Kasha. They also deal with the question of carrying. And they say, no, we don't have to assume that even one man de Amar holds that Hotzah was not part of the midst of Shabbos. Because there's another way they could have transported what they needed to transport. They could have put it on the animals. And the animals went with it. Wait a second, is that mutter? What's the halacha? Nechamer achabemto. You cannot put something on your animal for the animal to carry, because that's also an Isser. But that's an Isser that's not one of the Lamatas Melachos. That's an Isser Lav, but it doesn't have capital punishment. So the Ritva and the Ramban say that here's what the Gemara means. Tchumen, if you hold Tchumen is Doraisa, can mean Tchumen. If it's not Tchumen, what it means is the prohibitions that are not part of Lamatas Melachos, such as Mechamer, which doesn't have Kareis, which doesn't have Skila. And so the Gemara's question is, could they have left Refidim on Shabbos or not? The Machlokes is, did they have the Isser of Mechamer as part of the mitzvah of Mara? If they were commanded about Mechamer, then they couldn't have left on Shabbos, because they're not allowed to put the stuff on the animals. But if they were not bound by Isser Mechamer, then they could have left on Shabbos, because that's how they would transport what they need to transport. So what emerges from Tosfos and the Ritva and the Ramban, it seems that there is understanding the Gemara, when the Gemara's words are Ashabos ifkud, on Shabbos they were commanded, but Atchumen, fill in the blank, Tchumen, Hotzah, or Mechamer, lo ifkud, that did not become part of the mitzvah of Shabbos yet, or Atchumen ami ifkud. What's the common denominator here? That at least 38 of the melachos were part of the mitzvah of Shabbos in Mara. Hotzah, maybe not, according to Tosfos, according to the Rishonim, Hotzah also was part of it, but Mechamer wasn't. And here we have a pun in the Yafos, who seems to say that there was no precedent yet for Lamites Melachos until we get to closer to the Mishkan, and you have a Gemara that seems to say otherwise. As Shabbos Ifkud, and maybe Tchumen, maybe Hotzah, maybe Mechamer not. So how could he talk about there not being a prohibition of melachos on Shabbos when the Gemara seems to suggest otherwise? So apparently, the Panim Yafos would have interpreted these words of the Gemara in a different way. The words of the Gemara are not, they were mitzuvah on melach. The Gemara's words were, as Shabbos ifkud. They were commanded regarding Shabbos. What about Shabbos? So the Panim Yafos will say, they had a mitzvah of Shabbos in whatever way they understood it. You can't sprain yourself. But they might have also had an Isser Chumin. If Chumin means Hotzah, then they might have had one Melacha. If Chumin means Mechamer, not the way the Rishonim seem to assume that they had almost all the Melachas, if not all of them. But one, maybe not. According to the Panim Yafos, it's the other way around. They had whatever they had, but it's not about the Melachas. Maybe they had one Isser. Something similar I found in the Oneg Yantif, again one of the Achronim, not quite the way the Panim Yafos would seem to say it, but similar. He assumes against the Rishonim, and he writes in his introduction to Shut Oneg Yantif, Lui devreim hayanira lefarish, debemara lo nitztavu al shum melacha. They were commanded about Shabbos and Mara, not even one melacha were they commanded. Maybe one, you'll see. Rak bezochar lechud nitztavu velo besomar. What were they commanded in? Zochar es yom haShabbos haKadosho. And the irony is, it says shomar in Parshas Veschanan. And it says kasher tzivchas melokecha in Veschanan. But leaving that is on the side. They were not commanded in melacha. They were commanded in the assays of Shabbos, kiddush, maybe havdalah, the Rambam says, is part of zochar. And that's haShabbos ifkud. Atchumen lo ifkud. Hainu azechira de Shabbos ifkud. Lekadosho. That's one man to Amar. And the other man to Amar, haShabbos ifkud, atchumen nami ifkud. He holds that even though the afal gav de lo nitztavu al shum melacha, one melacha, yes. Kol makom ahotza'ah ifkud. So just the flip opposite of Tosfos. Tosfos would have it, seemingly, that they were Metzuvah for sure on 38, and Hotzah is a question. Maybe yes, Tchumen would mean Hotzah, yes, or maybe not. The only other thing is saying they were not Metzuvah on, for sure they were not Metzuvah on 38. Maybe they were commanded for Hotzah, because Hotzah is different than everything else. It's very, very grand, it's very all-inclusive, Hilchos Rabbis Shel Shabbos. And you see the Menavim railed against the Melacha of Hotzah. So maybe that is the question. If they couldn't travel on Shabbos because there was one Melacha that they were commanded in, and that's Chumin, meaning Hotzah. But a Shabbos Ifkud, that doesn't mean the rest of the Melachos. That means Zohar, that they have to recognize the day as a special day. And that was the extent of the mitzvah of Shabbos as it was given in Mark. Now, obviously, the Rishonim don't agree with that. Tosfos and the Rishonim assume that the Melachos were already applicable from Mara. What does that mean? Does that mean that the Melachos were 39 distinct categories of work, like we imagine for ourselves? It's as if the Torah was given separate prohibitions. A person would violate several Melachos with one forgetting, with one lapse of awareness. We know that Halacha is the Chayiv separate Chatos for each violation. Was that also in effect at the stage of Mara? Or even if you say that they were Mitzvah, they were commanded by on the Melachos, it was a different type of a paradigm. So from a Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvahs, it would appear to me that the Ramban, even though he seems to assume that the Melachos were applicable in Mara, but in a very different type of a way. The Ramban, at the end of his Hasagos to Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam, at the very end of Shorash Yudalid, speaks about the mitzvos of Bnei Noach and the mitzvos of Klal Yisrael. And he talks about how mitzvos Bnei Noach are very general in nature. So for example, one of the mitzvos of the seven mitzvos Bnei Noach is Gilui Arayis. What does it mean? The Torah warns Bnei Noach in one prohibition regarding all the illicit relationships. How many mitzvos? One. The one mitzvah speaks to all the different relationships that it's usher for Bnei Noach to engage in. Look at Yisrael, look at Achrei Mos, look at Kedoshim. There are separate mitzvahs of Taryag for every one of the Arayas. L'fikach Hebrahim Torah or mitzvahs. We have distinct mitzvahs for each one. Says the Ramban, that's the difference between Mara and the Torah. As he continues, he says, the mitzvahs in Mara were similar in this regard to mitzvahs Bnei Noach, very general in nature. And when they got to Har Sinai, then the mitzvahs took on more specific meaning, and he continues and relates to Shabbos, and he ends by saying, "The he is here Osam bin Mara, lishbos b'Shabbos mitzvahs asei achas." What was the mitzvah of Mara of Shabbos? Mitzvahs asay lisbos. So first of all, it wasn't in a negative. It wasn't a lo sasa chomalacha. It was the positive. You should rest. It was one general mitzvah for kaito to rest in Shabbos. I don't see any reason to assume he means like the panim yafos, that it was just to rest, like you or I would imagine. I would fairly assume the Ramban would mean to rest from lamites malachos. Okay, maybe otsa, maybe machamer nafka, lamites malachos, yes. But not in the sense that there's a specific, distinct prohibition for each of the malachos. It was a positive mitzvah saseh lispos. And that was in Mara, and later on it became more specific, and it was a negative, a low saseh, and so on.
But right there is with Ayyetze Ish.
So again, if you hold that Tchumina was Durabanan, Ayyetze Ish has to mean, obviously, something different. Rashi Mechumash already says, yeah. What? Yes, correct. Yeah, but I will mention what you say, Rabban Lushitasa, there's a problem which I deal with at length in the Sefer. If you look in Rabban Chumash, the Pashas B'Sarach, on the Pesukim of Mara, Ramban quotes the interpretation that Rashi quotes there, that they were given mitzvahs in Mara, and the Ramban assumes that they were not commanded in those mitzvahs in Mara. It was more of an orientation to get them accustomed to mitzvahs.
Drill.
Yes, to see how they would respond, and it was only later that they would actually get the mitzvahs. So here the Ramban seems to contradict this, because Ramban writes explicitly here in the Shor in Sefer Mitzvahs, he's here Osam b'mara lishvos b'shabbos mitzvayachas. That seems to go against what he writes in Chumash. Yes.
It's very interesting. The Ramban has malachas. I don't see it with the Lamed base, the Ayin base in Gemara and stuff. The Shabbos, stuff Ayin base, which is
right.
The Lamed has malachas. Okay. So if you take a look at the Gemara of Aslanim.
That's right. Let me see. I have still lots to cover. Let me wait for the end, and then we'll take any questions if we have time. So let's return for a minute to Oz Misinai Nitzavu Aleh, and now we're going to bring it maybe full circle by introducing Shabbos in Mitzrayim into the mix here. The question is obvious: Oz Misinai Nitzavu Aleh. How can we say that? Oz Misinai Nitzavu Aleh. We have seen that Shabbos came before Sinai. We have seen Shabbos in Mara, and we've seen that according to most Rishonim, if not all Rishonim, that included the Malachas of Shabbos. So how can we say, Oz mi Sinai nitzavu aleha? So, it could be that there's something in Sinai that's new, that's more than what was before. Now, you could suggest, if you hold that Tchumen wasn't in existence yet, then that became the tzivui that was renewed in Sinai. If it meant Hotzah, according to one opinion, then Hotzah became part of Shabbos in Sinai, or Mechamer, according to the Ramban. But all of this is obviously something of a forced interpretation of the word. Oz Misinai Nitzavu Aleha. Just one detail, and you can say Nitzavu. Maybe according to the Ramban and Sefer Mitzvahs, it may be a little bit easier because now it became a whole new type of a prohibition. Nitzavu aleha in the sense of 39 distinct negative prohibitions. Before it was just a general positive formulation of lishpos. Now we can talk about nitzavu aleha in the sense that we know it. But there's something else. And there are other answers that are given as well. I mean, one of the Rishonim says, the Karbanos of Shabbos only came at Sinai. And we're talking about Karbanos after all, Pilas Musaf. Comes to Shavuot Aleket and says, the question is such a good question that I have to read the words differently. Oz mi Sinai nitzavu aleha doesn't mean from Sinai they were commanded. No, no, no. They were commanded before Sinai. So what does Oz mi Sinai mean? It means prior to Sinai. A whole new interpretation. If you look at your siddur, you have to mark off a new translation in your article siddur, or whatever other siddur you have, for Oz mi Sinai. Not Oz mi Sinai, then from Sinai. Prior to Sinai. Nitzavu aleha. Okay, very good. So the question resolves itself. Oz mi Sinai, prior to Sinai. But if we look at the language of Shavuot Aleket, it is striking. Source number 19. So he quotes his brother, as he often does, and he explains, Oz Misinai, Kodem Sheba'u Lahasinai. Before they came to Hasinai. Where? So if he would just say Mara, I'd have no problem. What does he say? The Mitzrayim uven Mara. In Mitzrayim and in Mara, they were already commanded. And we find the word Oz, which means prior. Lashon Hagdama. Kimad Tema, Kedem, Nif'alav Me'oz. Now, we have to figure out what he means when he says, the Mitzrayim uven Mara. I understand Mara, Kashet Sivcha, Hashem Elokecha, so it means we were commanded before Sinai in Mara. How does he mention Mitzrayim in the same breath as Mara? Where were we commanded about Shabbos in Mitzrayim? Where did we keep Shabbos in Mitzrayim? Where were we commanded? So for this, we're going to share a beautiful medrash that gives us insight into Shabbos in Mitzrayim. Various permutations of the medrash. Let's begin with source 20. The pasuk tells us in Parshas Shemot that Moshe Rabbeinu, who grew up in the palace of Paro, as he began to get bigger, he looked out and he saw the suffering of his brothers. Vayetze el echa vayar b'sivlosam. Then the pasuk continues and says how he saw the Ish Mitzri, the Egyptian, beating the Jew. But there's something more that the medrash inserts into the pasuk. When Moshe went out and saw the suffering of Klal Yisrael, he felt he had to do something about this. So the medrash tells us he comes to Paro, his stepfather Paro, and he says to Paro, "I have to tell you something. Mi sheyesh lo eved, im eino nach yom echad b'shavua hu meis. Someone has a slave, and the slave works 24/7." That slave is going to suffer burnout, you're going to lose everything, you're not going to have your productivity anymore, you're going to die. So if you're not going to give them one day off, you're just not going to live. You're not going to live, you're not going to have what you need from them. So Paro heard Moshe's argument and he conceded the point. Amar lo. So Paro says to Moshe, Leich va'aseh lahem k'moshe tomar. I want you to arrange in accordance with what you said. You have the authority by virtue of the power vested in me, Paro, to make an arrangement to make sure the Jews rest on Shabbos. Halach Moshe v'tikein lahem es yom ha-Shabbos lanuach. Language of the Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu legislated that the Jews may rest on Shabbos. So we see here something fascinating. The Jews rested on Shabbos. We'll soon see about what exactly it looked like on Shabbos in Mitzrayim. But how did it happen? It happened because Moshe made the case to Paro, and Paro gave Moshe the authority, and Moshe instituted that they should rest. So what I believe is the Pshat of the Shiboleh HaLeket, when he says, Oz Misina Nitztavu Aleha, prior to Sinai, they were commanded, the Mitzrayim of Amara. So we wanted to know, Mara, I understand, was a commandment. How was Mitzrayim a commandment? Not in the same way as being commanded by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but it was something of a tzivui, because it was a takana of Moshe Rabbeinu. And because it was a takana of Moshe Rabbeinu, their resting on Shabbos was seen as complying with some kind of a mitzvah. So prior to Sinai, we're thinking not just of Mara, we're thinking of Mitzrayim as well. More about this medrash, how it sheds light on something we say Shabbos Shachris. Many Rishonim quote this interpretation as the Torah does, Simin Reish Pei Aleph, when we say Yismach Moshe B'matnas Chelko. Why do we say this on Shabbos morning Shachris? What does it have to do with anything? Moshe is happy, rejoicing with Matnas Chelko. What is Matnas Chelko? What is his gifted portion? What does it refer to? Explains the Torah. It has everything to do with the Medrash that we just read. Yismach Moshe, kishehoyu avoseinu b'mitzvayim v'ra Moshe kovet hashibud, shehichbidu aleihem. He saw the intensity of the work. Bikesh miParo sheitin lehem yom echad b'shavu ashyanuchu bo. He requested from Paro they should have a day of rest, v'nasnu lo, and he granted that. U'bachar b'yom hashvi. Now Moshe had a right to choose any day of the week, but which day would he choose? Apparently it wasn't clear which day was the Yom HaShvi of creation. Maybe they were in a situation they didn't know exactly which day is Shabbos. He had to pick a day. So he picked what turned out to be the Yom HaShvi. But was it really the Yom HaShvi? We couldn't be sure. But sometime later in history, the Kasher Nistavu al Yom HaShabbos, and then we knew which day was Shabbos, Samach Moshe Shebachar Bo. Moshe was so happy and ecstatic that he picked the same Yom HaShvi, which was in fact the Shabbos of creation. And that's the meaning of Yismach Moshe ben Matnas Chelko. He hit the jackpot. He picked the day for Kaisa Mitzrayim, which was in fact the Shabbos day. And that's, many Rishonim quote this interpretation of Yismach Moshe ben Matnas Chelko. This Medrash has many different formulations. You'll see in the Abud Ram. The Abud Ram brings in another element, how whatever they did on Shabbos fell apart, and Moshe made the case that it's because this day is not a day that they're going to be successful with their work. Paro went along and said, okay, give them the Shabbos to rest. The Shiboi HaLeket, source 23, makes it seem as if Paro wanted to give Moshe a present. That's what we call Matnas Chelko. Because Vayigdal Moshe, Nis'ale Moshe Ve'eni Paro. Paro one promoted Moshe, and he thought well of him. But Amar lo Paro Moshe, Moshe, Mama Tana Tamabakesh Mimeni, I want to give you a present. Your wish is my request. What can I do for you? Amar lo. 10 liyom echad b'shavua shenuchu bo b'nei Yisrael me'avdo. That they don't have to serve you on one day a week. V'nasa lo u'bocha Moshe b'shvi shelo yavdu bo Yisrael k'chol yom osa shavua v'adayim Shabbos lo nitna. Shabbos wasn't given yet. U'kesha asro ma'kodesh baruch hu melocha b'shabbos samach Moshe Rabbeinu amasha ola b'chelko ha'shabbos. That's what we say Yismach Moshe matnas chelko. And you see another formulation in the Das HaKeinim. Who picked the Shabbos day? From all these indications, it was Moshe. I have a question which I cannot give you an answer to, but if you have an answer, I'm all ears. From a line in Hosanna. We don't really think about this except one time in the course of the year, on Shabbos Cholamoed. And it's one line of Hosanna that we say probably very quickly in Shul, so how much we really notice it, I don't know. But next time we get to Shabbat Chol Moed, maybe you'll think about this line, or before that. Kiddush, it's the second of the Hosannas that we say. That the one, there's one which is parallel to the regular Hosanna of that day of Sukkot, and then there's the second one that substitutes for Kiddushat Eilat B'Lud Imach. Kiddushata Goy Mitzuyan Mekavim Chofesh. As you saved a distinguished nation hoping for freedom. Deya kivnu. They focused their intelligence. Lavur shavi'i lanofesh. To choose the seventh day as rest. So who chose, who are we speaking about? Jews and Mitzrayim. The Mekadim Chofesh. They're looking for freedom. They chose with their intelligence the Yom HaShvi. From all other indications, who chose the Yom HaShvi as the day to rest? Moshe. Yismach Moshe, the Matnas Chelko. And from this line of the Paitan, we would think that it was Klal Yisrael who chose it and not Moshe. I leave that as an open question. What about this Shabbos in Mitzrayim? What did it look like? How long did it last? And how does this take us back to our Musaf of Shabbos? So, at the end of Parshas Shmos, we know Moshe Rabbeinu sent by a conspirator who had the snare at the burning bush to go to Paro, to confront Paro, to make the case that Paro let the Bnei Yisrael leave. Instead of making things better, Paro is so infuriated, he makes things worse. What does Paro say and what does Paro do? Source 26, Vayomer Paro, Hein rabi matam oret v'hishbatem osam misiv lo sam. Notice the language here. And you're going to v'hishbatem osam. You are giving them a chance to cease from their work. What's the show is here? Shabbos. Bayitzav paro bayamor hu et anoksim ba'am et so tov reymor lo so sifun lasis tevin la'am. So what does Paro do? He tells them they are no longer to provide, the taskmasters are not to provide the Jewish with the raw material, with the straw to make the bricks. They have to gather the straw themselves, And yet, the Esmaskonis Halavainim, the quota of bricks that they've been doing each day, has to remain constant because they are just lazy, and therefore they're crying out to go and sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tichbad ha'avodah al anashim. It has to become harder for them. And the al yishu b'divei sheker, which means they should no longer turn toward vain words. So a simple reading of these psukim, Paro simply took away the opportunity of the Jews to have the straw. They have to fend for themselves, gather the straw, work that much harder, and meet the same quota. But the Mevis sees something else that's changing as part of Paro's decree. Not just that Paro said, gather the straw yourself. Paro was convinced that having the Shabbos was giving them hope, and Paro did not want them to attach themselves to false hopes. So Paro said, we are no longer going to give you that day of rest, and therefore you have to work 24/7. And what does Paro say, V'al yishu b'divei shoker? What is he referring to? What's the divei shoker? So the Medrash tells us, Tichbad ha'avodah l'anashim, melamed, shahayu b'yodah megillos. The Jews had scrolls in Mitzrayim. Shahayu mishtashin b'hem, mishabbos v'shabbos. They would take comfort, delight. They would have a sense of pleasure from these scrolls, from what these scrolls told them. Each week, Lomar Shekodesh Baruch Hu Go'alam, the scrolls gave them a vision of hope that they're going to be redeemed. They would rest in Shabbos. So they had the comfort of these scrolls. What were these scrolls? The Medrash doesn't tell us. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, Mizmor Iyov maybe, because Tzadik Baralo, Moshe may have written Iyov. Mizmor Shili Yom HaShabbos, Tzadik Beis, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote 11 psalms in Tehillim. Included in that is Mizmor Shili Yom HaShabbos, which talks about Tzadik Baralo, Rasha V'Tovlo. Some scrolls of comfort that they were able to inspire themselves in Shabbos. Omer lehem Paro, tichbad ha'avodah l'anashim, v'al yishu v'divei shoker, says the Medrash. They did not turn to the vain words. Al yu mishtashein. The Medrash takes yishu from the language mishtasheya, to delight. They should not take this enjoyment. Paro wants to strip the Jews of any vestige of enjoyment that they had, that little sliver of hope. He took it away. And so says the Medrash Tehillim, source 28, if not for your Torah, I would have perished. Moshe Omer. Moshe said in Sadi Dalit, we said Moshe wrote 11 Mizmorim in Tehillim, from Sadi, until Moshe Yishalokim, until Mizmor Lesoda, including Kuf, which Mizmor Lesoda. Included in that is Keon Nekomot Hashem, which is Tzadi Dalit, Berov Sarapai Bekirbi Tanchumecha Yishachu Navshi. That's Moshe Rabbeinu speaking in that Mizmor. Bechem Paro Omer Tichbat Havod Al Anashim Vayidu Vishoker Sforim Hayu Ehem. They had these scrolls Vayim Shtashim Vahem Mishabbos Yishabbos. And so we have the Medrash Tehillim that echoes the Medrash in Shemos. Rav Chaim Palkia, one of the Rishonim, adds another dimension to the Divrei Shoker that Paro was referring to. Point of Chaim Paltiel, none other than Moshe Rabbeinu's father. Who was Moshe Rabbeinu's father? Amram used to give drushes on Shabbos in Mitzrayim that gave chizuk to Klal Yisrael. Where he gets this from, I have no idea. It's fascinating. Amram hayodorish rebe shabbosos me'inyan geula v'nechamos, and that's what Paro meant, al yishu b'divei shoker, meaning who's divei shoker? Amram's speeches. The Remes, she is Vidros, Bishabasas, the Amitovim, the Mizmor Tzadi Beis. It shows us we should take Mizmor Shir and Mashabbos and expound on it. And he continues and he says, the Rove Sarapai Bikirbi, that's the Pasuk in Tzadi Dalet that the Mendel Shetilim referenced. The Rove Sarapai Bikirbi, Tanchumecha Ishach Napshi, with the first four words, Rashi Tevos, the Rove Sarapai Bikirbi, Tanchumecha, Rashi Tevos, Bishabbos. Which also alludes to drushes of Amram. So I want to come full circle now and suggest the following. We know, the Gemara tells us in Pesachim, and we know this from our Kiddush, that Shabbos is not just a Zecher, Lemaaseh, Bereishis, as we have in Yisro. Shabbos is also Zeicher Litzias Mitzrayim, as mentioned in Beis Chana. And we have a mitzvah to mention this in our Kiddush. As the Gemara tells us, Tzorach Sheyazkir Yitzias Mitzrayim B'Kiddush Hayom. When we make Kiddush, we have to say Zeicher Litzias Mitzrayim. The Gemara lends it out. L'man Tizkor Shiyom Teischa Tzorach Shiyom HaShabbos HaKadsha. We have to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. What's the connection? So Tosus brings a very interesting connection that brings us back to what we began with, the point of departure of that Lamitas Melachos. We've been thinking about Lamitas Melachos in one dimension, and that is Mishkan. And we wondered about, before we knew about the Mishkan, where did we know about Lamitas Melachos? What paradigm would we have prior to Mishkan that would speak to Lamitas Melachos? So Tosus brings a Medrash, and he finds it in Mitzrayim. So Tosus quotes on that Gemara Pesachim that we just read, "Kach kavu zecher yitzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush." V'shamati sheyesh b'medrash, l'fi shebimitzrayim avdu behem yisrael b'farach. As the pasuk tells us that the Mitzrayim made the Jews work with back-breaking labor. The word used is parach. If you take the letters of parach, pei reish chaf, and you interchange them with their counterparts in the Aleph Beis, in a system known as Atbash. Atbash means the first letter Aleph switches with the Tav, and Beis with the Shin, and so on and so forth. So if you flip Pei Reish Chaf, what do you get? Well, the Pei is the sixth letter from the end, which would switch with the Vav. Then you have the Reish with the third letter from the end, which switches with a Gimel. And then you have the Kaf, which would swap with the Lamed. Parech can therefore become, in a new formulation, Vav, Gimel, Lamed. Vav, Gimel, Lamed is 39, which is therefore a remez to Lamedes Melachos. Which means what? The Bnei Yisrael worked Parech. They were doing... Every one of the Lamitas Melachos was part of their responsibilities as slaves in Mitzrayim, and therefore Kishenigel of Mitzrayim, his Hireim al Hashabbos Lishbos Me'osan Lamitas Melachos. So when they left Mitzrayim and they got the Mitzvah of Shabbos, Hashem said, you were doing Zoreah, you were doing Kosa, you were doing Ma'amah, you were doing all these things, and I'm telling you now, you're to rest from those Melachos, and that's the meaning of Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim. So I want to close with a very interesting remez, which again I have in the Sefer coming out on Tikkat Shabbos. Namely, what do the words Tikkat Shabbos mean? We say it all the time, Tikkat Shabbos. What's the shoresh of the word Tikkat? So the Rishonim say, now we have a question whether it should be a kaf or a kof. We're going to assume now the kaf. Tikkat Shabbos, tuf, kaf, nun, tuf. So what is Tikkat Shabbos? Rishonim say it means to number, an order, a quota. And what does it mean? You ordered Shabbos, you numbered Shabbos. So the Das Kanan says it one way, Rav Yehuda Bav Yochai says it a different way. The Das Kanan in Parshas Pinchas says it's Tikkat Shabbos like Tochen Levenim, says Safarta, you counted days, Yom Rishon Yom Sheni, and Shabbos is day 7. So Kadosh Baruch Hu loves the number 7. So you created a system of numbers, and Shabbos represents the most choicest of the numbers, 7. Rav Yehuda Rav Yochai, Rabbi of the Ramban, says it means you have cheshbonos, numbers in connection to Shabbos, more than other types of mitzvahs. So for example, there are arba'im avos melachos chasar achas. There are 39 categories of work. There are 4 reshuyos on Shabbos. Chazal speak about Shabbos very often in terms of a system of numbers, and that's Tikkat Shabbos. So I was thinking, why did we choose this expression to begin the bracha of Shabbos Musa? The words Tikkat Shabbos, which are reminiscent, as the Rishonim tell us, of what word in Parsha Shmos? Tochen Levenin, Maskones HaLevenin. What's the context of those words? The context of those words is Paro insisting that the quota of bricks remain the same, but part of that same decree as we saw in the Medrash, was Paro insisting that Shabbos be taken away from Klal Yisrael. They're no longer to rest on Shabbos. That's the context of Tochen Levenim. So why do we use the word Tikanta Shabbos? It's a way of saying to Paro, we have the last laugh, Paro. You tried so hard to take away our Shabbos. At the time that you insisted that the quota remain constant, we were redeemed from your slavery, from your clutches. We became servants not to you, but to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can speak about a very different quota, Tikanta Shabbos. We can speak about the numbers of Shabbos, not the quota of bricks that we had to deliver to you, but the Abarashiyas, the Shabbos, about the Sutterin on the Lachas, about Shabbos being the seventh day. We can appreciate Shabbos in its own system of quotas, which is exactly the antithesis of what you wanted to achieve when you insisted on your quota. It's the perfect day of the week. It's the perfect number. It's a perfect demonstration of how we were redeemed from you, Paro, and that is why Shabbos is the ultimate Zecher Yisrael. Right.
He has a whole discussion because he says it's not really Rode, but he also, as part of that, he cites the story of David HaMelech and Shaul.